we've actually been convinced of things by people who know nothing. Yeah. There's a text that talks about science falsely so-called. And I always go back to Mark Twain, who said one time, if you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. And if you read the newspaper, you're misinformed. And we still fall for it. Yeah. If you don't get it, you don't get it. He's on the throne. God knows exactly what's going on. And I've often said, if you haven't heard me say it before, pay attention, because I've said it a lot. Everything I needed to know about ministry, I learned in combat. And I learned, one of the things I learned was they have no clue. People have no clue what goes on in battle. And they already think about it. If we had the same media in the 40s that we have now, D-Day would have been the biggest failure. When you figure we lost, what was it, around 2,500 men in a training exercise for D-Day. Yeah, 2,500 of our men gone in a training exercise. We have to stop this. We can't go through with it. Yeah. And let's face it, I haven't seen Saving Private Ryan. Since John Wayne's gone, I don't watch war movies. They're too realistic. Yeah. And I don't need to go there. But everything I needed to know about ministry and life, I learned in combat. And we just don't realize that people who were there come out one of two ways. They either know the truth and admit it, or they deny the truth. You know, and I remember way back when John Kerry came back from Vietnam and went to the White House and threw his medals over the fence. And he should have. As I remember, he cut himself trying to get away from the enemy and got a Purple Heart for it. Because he shed blood in the combat, so he should have thrown that back. Yeah. However, I think about where we are, and there's a reason this is coming, but the holiday Wednesday, Veterans Day, is because veterans know something. And I was trying to think if it was Don I was saying this morning, telling someone this morning, Jimmy Swaggart has a song, "It Ain't Over Till It's Over." And people, that doesn't come from Jimmy Swaggart. It comes from God. You know, right now we're in Friday, but Sunday's coming. Yeah. I know what it looks like, or what you've been told it looks like, because I've been there. I've been there. Veterans Day is coming, and what it's supposed to remind us of is that there's a price that was paid so that we would have the privilege to worship. Last February, our leaders gave up that worship. They gave up that right. I mean, when you think about over 200 years, you know what comes the day before Veterans Day? The 11th day, 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. The day before Veterans Day is the birthday of the United States Marine Corps. What a coincidence. You know, the day before Veterans Day. And we just forget, you know, that when you're in battle, we're all Marines, you know. We just don't want to ever lose. We don't ever want to forget, but we do. So I just want us to watch a short video on Veterans Day, and then we're going to get into our text. Because, people, we need to remember, you had the right to vote this week. Don't thank a politician for that right. Thank a vet. John 15:13 says, "No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends." And then he continues, he said, "In case you haven't realized this, you are my friends. If you do what I command you." That has nothing to do with the Ten Commandments. That has to do with, do you believe? Do you trust? I say, and I said earlier, that I've lived this before. I've seen this before. Yeah. We had, in 1960s and early 70s, actually, I think we started in the 50s sending advisors to Vietnam. Then we got involved under the Kennedy and the Johnson administration, and it ran through into the Nixon administration. And in all the times, you know, my ribbon I have from Vietnam has the year that the United States officially entered was 1960. So it has 1960 and just a dash because it hadn't ended, you know. But in all the time we were there, you can check the records. We never lost one battle, not one. Did we have setbacks? Oh, they were tough. Maybe they made a movie called Pork Chop Hill. It was rough, but we didn't lose that hill. We kept that. Never lost one battle over there. And those of us that were there knew what was going on. I just had a guy at the storehouse Thursday. He made me laugh. Because I don't know what we were talking about. It's something about losing a battle. He said, well, the problem was we weren't allowed in Cambodia. And I just laughed. I said, you're right. We weren't. And we were never there. You know, the problem was it isn't what was going on the battlefield that made the difference. What made the difference is what was going on the battlefield between our ears back in the States. And they had convinced this country that we were losing. They were ready to concede and surrender. When one of my friends was the last person, well, one of the last people. He was on the last helicopter to leave Vietnam. They were on top of the American embassy, and there were several helicopters. And the ones that were there pushed all the helicopters over the side so that they would be wrecked and couldn't be used. And then they got on that one. He said, here we were battle-worn and battle-torn, and we cried because we knew we had won and walked away. just walked away. Yeah. It's like being in the Super Bowl and you have the lead and you just say, well, and maybe you've seen this at some games where a lot of fans say, it's over, I'm leaving. Yeah. I'm going to beat the traffic and get out of here. And then they get home and find out that they won instead of lost. That's what happened. I've watched it. I've seen it. I've experienced it. And we came back from battle the same way it is now. I don't know if you saw in New York this week, that young woman, I mean, the cop was kind of humorous at times because she was so in his face that her spittle was going, yeah. So he pulled his shield down, yeah. And then she just hopped a Luger and went around the shield and spit in his face. Saw it. Yeah. Had it happen. They have convinced us. They have convinced us that the battle's over. There's no sense in fighting anymore. Why don't you just concede? See, if you read history, after we left in the 70s, I think it was 72. 72 or 73, doesn't really matter. God is in the details. What happened after that? Because you see, here was the reason we left. Everybody back here believed the polls. And the people, I know what it looks like now. But see, there is a God, and he is in charge. I'm here to tell you, CNN, Fox News, PMSNBC, they're not in charge. God is in charge. God is on the throne. And I believe, see, earlier in 2016, you could compare the presidency with Jehu. 2020, begin to compare it with, do some research. You are more noble than those in Thessalonica. Do some research. Compare it to Cyrus this time. Named years before ever took the throne. Cyrus was not a godly man, people. Neither Jehu wasn't, and Cyrus wasn't. But both called by God for such a time as this. Now, if you don't believe that what we are battling is principalities and powers, Jesus himself said, I lay before you life and death. Or let me put it to you in 2020 terms. I lay before you pro-life and pro-choice. If that was the only thing a Christian should look at. I mean, do you think that was a prophecy? Yes. And how many Christians are convinced, you know, if we just do not, we're not supposed to get involved. Could you imagine if Joseph didn't get involved? What would have happened to the, look, people, I know he would have raised somebody else up. But he was God's man. Can you imagine? Get this picture in your mind. Yeah, and Juanita was talking about her cousin and how she comes dressed. Any of us, if we were invited to the White House, would probably, you know, and I don't care who the president was, we would probably dress up. We might even go out and buy a new dress or a new suit. But picture this. You're in a kingdom, and nobody comes before the king without permission. And here this guy walks in, And here's the king. He's up there. Yeah. I know Wendell can't see me. I'm sitting on my throne. Well, I'm thinking you're my kind of people and you couldn't see over the pulpit. Yeah. And he's sitting there and he goes, because somebody walks in the back door and he hasn't invited them. And not only that, he doesn't look like he should be in the palace. He doesn't look very presidential, shall we say. What right does he? And he sits there, and I can imagine he can't believe his eyes, and he stands up, and the guy walks right up to him and goes, "You're an evil man. And it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain." And then he turns around and walks out. See? Don't look for God in the obvious places. Look for him in the places. Because even when they told the church where he was going to be born, nobody from the church went to see him. They told others where to go when he showed up, but they didn't go. Here's what they're thinking. Come on. If it's really God, don't you think he would have been born or come into this world or shown up? If it's really God, is he going to show up in a bread warehouse? Yeah. If it's really God, I mean, we'll use Richard's analogy. If you're really the lead singer from the Platters, shouldn't you be at Life Point? Or maybe, I don't know, with Joel Osteen on TBN? I mean, if you're really... See, that's the way the world looks at it, people. God says, you know what? I'm going to use the foolish to confound the wise. Because people will even... Let's face it. I mean, I told him one time, I saw the picture of him. I think it was a pink suit you had on. Looked like shark skin. See, those of us from the 60s remember shark skin. Yeah. I said, I want to see you in that suit again. Yeah, the day I'm in my uniform again, I still have my uniform. You probably still have that suit. Neither one of us are ever going to see that again. Yeah. But God says, I know what it looks like. But people, you either trust me or you don't. And the one I put in isn't going to look like you expect him to look. He's not going to talk the way you expect him to talk. And you're going to believe the media when they tell you. Think about what the media would have said some 2,000 years ago. Forget the media. Think about what the church said. Others he saved. Loser. He's a loser. See? I mean, is that what victory looks like? The problem is, we're looking at electoral maps instead of the cross. God is either who he says he is or he's not. It's okay to get upset. It's just not okay to stay upset. The Bible says, hold fast to that which is good. I don't know how many look at history or not. I like history, and history tells me the person in the White House shouldn't be there. He knows nothing about government. I mean, think about how he got there. Went up against the strongest political machine in the history of our country. He shouldn't be there. And when he gets there, because he shouldn't be there, see, if you don't know what you're supposed to do, what do they say? If you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Yeah. He just thought he could run it like a business. So it's just like you get into combat. All you need is a gun. But you have to know when to use it and when not to. I was telling my niece, who called, got several phone calls this week. People were upset. And that's fine. And she said, "You're not upset?" I said, "No. Been here before." I said, "Our own are trying to destroy us," were her words. He said, "Our own people are trying to destroy us." I said, "Maybe I've never told you before, but when people don't agree with a good decision," I wished I had saved it, but I was 21 years old at the time, and, things don't mean anything. But we had gone out and come back, and I tell people I'm some dumb, but I'm not plum dumb. Yeah. So we were on the mission. I had to make a decision. I made the decision, and it cost someone their life. There were five of us, and one we went after. Yeah. It cost the one we went after his life. But I know the history of the Alamo. And John Wayne might be able to take out hundreds. Yeah. But even John Wayne lost at the Alamo. And so, just, put up the hand. We're not doing this. We're not doing this. We need to live to fight another day. We couldn't call for backup because we were north of the DMZ. They couldn't send backup up there. Well, that night, I'm back in my workspace, and I think the way the Bible puts it, as my custom was, it was the day that ended in Y, so I was writing a letter to K, when I felt something go down my side. One of the guys who was on the group. See, everybody can be in the military, but not everybody's a warrior. He disagreed. He thought we should have gone forward, and he tried to kill me that night. I should have kept the shirt. I mean, it would have been impressed. Wouldn't you be impressed if I could hold the shirt up and say, "See, this is where the knife went through"? But when you're 21, it doesn't matter. And I'm here to tell you, he was no longer on the ship. I have no clue where that guy is now. He may still be in a mental institution for all I know. But his brother, twin brother, worked right next to our space was a fueling station. And his twin brother worked there. And every time I left our workspace, he would be sharpening the point. He had a spear gun. And he would just look and go. Don't think they're going away. See? God spared me that night. But it doesn't mean nothing else was going to come against me. I'm a firm believer. Every trial you go through is to prepare you for one of greater magnitude. And you're going, Case, thinking, what could be a greater disappointment than Tuesday night? I'll tell you what can be a greater disappointment. Not believing him. I got this. I got this. I know what I'm doing. You may have been watching this man for 4 years. Been watching him for over 30 years. They picked the wrong fight, people. This guy doesn't lay down. He doesn't go away. He doesn't lose easy. Yeah. Because what happened in the 70s, Congress came out and said, if you agree to leave, when we leave, we will give you all the weapons you need. We will give you all the intelligence you need. And we will protect you. They never sent one bullet. No intelligence. And they made a movie about it called The Killing Fields. People, if I'm telling you, Jesus never promised to take the fight out of your life, only the failure. Because he said, take up your cross and follow me. See, when you take up the cross, see, Jesus, when he picked up the cross, he knew what was coming. And you're saying, crucifixion? No, resurrection. See? It's not about the battle. It's about what happens. I mean, people. Aaron's not here today, but the famous philosopher Aaron Monroe says, I've read the end of the book. We win. You know, we win. Either way, we win. I don't care what it looks like. Look, I knew what it looked like when I was there, and people did not look good. But I know we didn't lose. I know we just walked away when we already had victory there. People, I know there's already victory. There is no way on God's green earth that we gain that many seats except for the top place on the ticket. There is no way on God's green earth that a former president and a former vice president can't get more than 100 people together and somebody else comes and gets 50,000 in the freezing cold and loses. I told you earlier, I'm some dumb, I'm not plum dumb. See, the same thing happened in the 60s, and I've told you before, we were using some weapons that I guess back then they would call them smart bombs. They're not, today they would be like a firecracker. But we used them for a whole week. And then we got a message. Send them back. You're doing too much damage too quickly. And we had to pack them all up and send them home. We had to drop down to their level of fighting. What they don't realize is this guy doesn't drop down. God doesn't come down to our level to fight. He comes down to earth to win. Yeah. And I don't know if you've ever wrestled with God before. I have. And I'm a slow learner because I've done it more than once. He always wins. He always wins. Now, he doesn't always win the way I think he should win. It's not always pretty. But one thing I know, that it's an honor to serve him. It's an honor to trust him. I can sleep safely because I know one rough man stood ready to do violence on those who were after my soul. And if I believe that, why can't I trust him? Our saying is, has been, and will be, I am not a human having a spiritual experience. I am a spiritual being having a human experience. Because I know, we sang about it earlier. Yeah, he's the one who calls me redeemed. He's the one. And where did I learn that? It doesn't matter what they believe. What matters is what's true. Because, see, that day, I'm telling you, this is what's going on. We got him now. Huh. Mr. Carpenter, come on down. You have nails in your hands. Build the temple like you said you would. Come down from the cross and then we'll believe. And you can see him pulling the broad-bordered flattery around him going, we got him. We got him. What are you going to do now? We got him. We got him. You notice the president hasn't said much for the past couple days. I think the way put in there is he spoke not a word. I'm telling you, people. Here's what's going on up here. Remember, he had something poured over him that, and it was all in his hair and everything. And here we go. He could smell his hair and go, Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. See, you either believe God or you don't. February was when leaders of churches made their choice. They will deny it, but they failed. They failed the test. November is when Christians make their choice. We either trust him. The leaders said, we can't trust. You know, if we have church, they could get COVID. They could get the big C. And at every church, you could get the big C. Either Christ or COVID. Your choice. Yeah. And if you get COVID, guess what? He's got that too. If you don't believe me, ask Connie. Yeah. Yeah. He's got that too. People, it's an honor. An honor. I don't know if you realize, I'm still wearing my Trump train pin. Thursday, I went to the food bank, and the guy, young guy there, let's just say he's less than a Trump fan. Where's your Trump paraphernalia? I had my sweatshirt on, so I pulled it open, and it said, proud to be a deplorable. Yeah. I said, oh, I didn't think you'd be wearing that. I said, why? I said, we won. I said, either way, we won. How do you say? I said, you're exposed, for one thing, for who you really are. I said, but better than that, I know you think you've got it, but I've seen this before twice. Once at Calvary and the other time in Vietnam. We won and walked away at one. The other, he didn't walk away and still won. Think about that. It's an honor. What a privilege it is. How dare we neglect so great a salvation? See, Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down for his friend. I call you friend. I don't know if you've been watching, but those same exact, and see, this person, I mean, let's face it, the guy in the White House, he's no theologian. But he said, I had a pretty good life. You know who else said that? I didn't have to do this. You know, I was living pretty good. It was pretty and nice in heaven. Yeah, I had a pretty good life. But I did it because I love you. Coincidence? I don't believe in coincidence. I believe hand-picked. Hand-picked. Jehu, Cyrus, and now it's your choice. The leaders already made their choices. No organization will rise higher than its leader. That's what I love about this guy. He doesn't have an ace up his sleeve. He has a whole deck of cards. I don't care what you play. You know, something's going to turn around. And I told a woman who called me, she was, I'd say, a little more than upset. I said, you know what? If a Biden presidency will usher in the second coming, I would have voted for him. You know, I'm ready to go home. Ready to go home. Tired of living in a combat zone, I'm ready to go home. But this one thing I know, he said he would lay down. He has laid down. He won. We're not fighting toward victory. We're fighting from victory. And that's where we are as a nation right now. Because it says, if my people who are called by my name will repent. I had this discussion with somebody a couple of weeks ago. They said, well, Judas will be in the kingdom because it said Judas repented. That's only half the story. And turn from their wicked ways. People, it's time for us to say, we're not sacrificing any more babies. We're not saying it's okay to marry, what was it, a year ago? The man married his dog? Yeah. We're not saying that's okay. You know? We're not saying that's okay. We're saying marriage is defined in Genesis. Yeah. Had another T-shirt that said, vote the Bible. If only Christians would have done that. If only Christians would have done that. Vote the Bible. Your choice. But trust me on this. It's an honor to have served. And we should be very grateful because we have freedom to worship and we gave it up in February. Well, leadership did. Don't give it up now, November. You know, get your file out and start sharpening your pitchforks. You know, rough days are coming. Either way, rough days are coming. But our bread and our water will be sure. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Not a court. You know, not a government. You know, as Kay Price was saying in class this morning, all her school years she was taught, we will never bow to the government until we bow to the government. Close. Okay. Drump, drump, drump. Don't go off. She was saying her son's church still isn't open. Start telling him, start meeting in the house. If one person comes, There's no such thing as one, because Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If it's just you and Jesus, yeah, you have prayer. You praise God. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. You know, this is the day that the Lord has made. And here's what I know. I'm upright and ventilating. And if I can ventilate, I want to praise him. I want to thank him. And I want to believe he means what he says. He knows who he picks, and he knows why he picks them. So I'm going to say, Jesus, it's an honor to serve you. I was proud to serve until we got back to San Francisco and said, oh, my goodness. I'm proud to serve you until I hear Christians do the same exact. What are you, out of your mind?
Well, yeah.
It's an honor to serve. An honor to serve, an honor to serve. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we think about whose we are, let us never forget. You've already been over this road. I know what it looks like, Father, because I know what it looked like back in the 70s. And they actually convinced people. So much so that we just walked away and let thousands and thousands and thousands be slaughtered. Father, this is crunch time. People need to know you. They need to make a choice between heaven or hell. Let us not walk away now, because like Eddie was saying earlier, only 25% of our country now claim to be Christians. Father, we will not walk away, we will not crawl away, and we will not, Father, fade away. We are going to stand up and say, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. We will say, you can come at us with social media, you can come at us with news stations, but we come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And we not will win, we have won. And we receive it and give you glory, honor, and praise. And because of that, Father, it is an honor to serve. We're going to watch a video for a close. I'm on. I know. Yeah, when you think about it, that's why God says, I don't know what you thought about Tuesday. This was one of the first thoughts that came into my mind. For I know the plans that I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. My plans are for your welfare and not for your disaster. To give you a future and hope. You will call to me. And the problem is, we look to Washington too often and not at the cross enough. Yeah. You will call to me, and you will come to me, and you will pray to me, and I will listen to you. However, only if you seek me over Washington, D.C. Now, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Amen.